Welcome back, folks. We had the Dow finished up 4, NASDAQ up 32, S&Ps are up 8, gold trading out there at 882, platinum 2012, dollar index down 31 ticks at 73.29. Bernanke and the Fed, they held out here today. And, you know, when we talk about the Fed, we have a great guest coming up. His name is Douglas Roberts. Now, Mr. Roberts just came out with a new book. It's called Follow the Fed to Investment Success. Douglas Roberts is the founder and chief investment strategist of Channel Capital Research Institute. He's a contributor to AOL Money and Finance section and is frequently called upon by the media as an expert of the Federal Reserve. Roberts was also vice president and portfolio manager at Bernstein Investment Management, as well as a research and managing director at Roberts Group. Douglas, welcome to TFNN.
Thanks very much for having me on, Tom.
Absolutely. Great day to have you on, too.
Yeah, a lot of activity today.
A lot of activity. A great name of a book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success. What made you write the book in the first place?
Well, in essence, one of the things that got me to writing the book is I looked at the performance of most money managers, and they don't beat the S&P 500. Jack Bogle's been talking about that, and other research has confirmed it.
Yes.
So what I wanted to do was to really find a strategy which really drove it. I had initially been a value investor,
okay,
but actually, as we all know, during the late 90s, that stopped working, and I went back to Wall Street, went back to Bernstein to try to find out, really through quantitative research, what was the big determining factor through the market. And what I found was money and credit really drives all the financial markets. If you can get money, you can grow your company. It's as simple as that. If you can't get it, there are very, very few companies that are totally self-sufficient, totally insulated from the money and credit markets.
Yes.
And they have a problem growing. And who is the 900-pound gorilla that really sets monetary and credit policy? In this case, not just domestically, but worldwide, it's the U.S. Federal Reserve.
Yes, no doubt. Because, of course, we're in the funny money system, aren't we?
Yeah, essentially that's it. We're in a paper money system, and really the Fed is the determinant of that. Right or wrong, that's basically the way it is. But we found that also that went back even when we were on the gold standard during the 1800s. And in that case, it was the robber barons.
Yes. Now, in that context, we have a, well, you may or may not agree, it seems that we have an environment now that the Fed would be either at a standstill or, in fact, going up in the rates. So what happens in that context?
Well, right now, I mean, I think the Fed's going to stand pat with rates. I think they're talking tough.
Okay.
And there's harsh language. But really, the if you look at the causes of inflation, it's really more of a burden on the economy in the short term for the consumer, who finds that every day when he fills his gas tank. And at the same time, raising rates is not going to really do anything, because much of this demand, not all of it, but much of it, is driven by the emergence of oil demand in the emerging markets like China and India. They're driving more cars, and I don't think you're going to be able to. Raising rates by the Fed is not going to convince them to go back to what they were doing before in terms of bicycles and other forms of transportation. So this is a continuing trend. The only way the Fed could really stop that would be to raise rates enough to cause a global recession, but in that case, the cure may be worse than the disease. And in addition to that, if they wanted to raise rates, right now the economy is still too fragile, as we've seen from the housing and employment reports, for them to raise rates. So they're talking tough to really solidify it, to keep inflationary expectations from getting baked in, but essentially they're not going to raise rates. Now, what does that mean for the average investor? Well, this is what we discuss in my book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success.
Yes.
And what we found is really the biggest determinant of outperformance in the market is really small and large caps. In other words, that's the one dependable thing that you can find to beat the S&P. Small cap stocks, we've talked about that small cap outperformance. It's 2 to 3%, above the S&P. It operates consistently over time, and we've tested back almost 80 years to before the crash of 1929, and we found that pattern. Now, the question is, what drives it? And what we found is really when the Fed injects liquidity into the market, it makes it easier for small companies to borrow.
Yes.
And it makes it easier for them to grow. And that's what we've been found. That's where that period of small cap outperformance comes. We measure that by a simple measure, really, whether the rate of inflation is greater than short-term borrowing costs. That gives you a negative real interest rate, and that is boom time for small cap stocks.
Okay,
and
so
right now we're in that period of time.
So you're saying that right now the rate of inflation, if you just give me that, the rate of inflation is larger or smaller than the cost of borrowing?
It's right now larger than the cost of borrowing, and we use short-term treasuries to measure the cost of borrowing.
And that helps small caps?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, we're way over that. I mean,
yeah.
Because, I mean, it particularly, now, what did you do when you were doing this research, Douglas, what did you do about when they changed the formula, when the government changed the formula of what inflation was and is?
Well, that happens over time, you know, really.
But they actually changed the formula, like, only 13 years ago.
Yeah, but in terms of that, it really doesn't make much of a difference. It's generally over time. In other words, this is something where it's a general measure.
Yes.
And really, you know, inflation changes over time. The components of inflation changes. You know, and what we found is it pretty much evens out no matter what they define it as.
Okay.
As long as it reflects the general nature of the economy, it's kind of like you don't need to be exactly on target with it.
So that's interesting because inside that context, that would mean that rates could actually still go up, but if inflation was going fast and the rates were going up, that would be saying that small caps would still do okay.
Exactly, and if you
Amazing.
Look at like the late
okay.
1970s,
right.
That's what you found is actually, we talk about the late 1970s as a continuation of a bear market, and that was true for large cap stocks.
Yes.
They really didn't do much better than treasury rates or prevailing rates you can get on fixed incomes at the time, but at the same time, small cap stocks had one of the biggest boom markets in history, and that was for the exact reason you were talking about, is really that was a period of time where the Fed was raising rates, but it was still less than the rate of inflation, so you had that negative real interest rate environment.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, it's amazing, folks. I mean, you know, all you hear about is the big bad bear that was here, of course, in 2000. But the fact of the matter is the small caps, okay, folks, they bottomed out, you know, very quickly in the small caps when the rest of the equities are still going down, went over the highs. If you take the Russell 2000, the Russell 2000 actually went back over their highs in 2004. So that's pretty incredible because, of course, we were in a huge rate environment on the way down. Well, I guess it was on the way down, the way up, but the bigger trend was on the way down.
Yeah, the interesting thing that we also happened is when we took on the site, we took people into large cap stocks at the end of 2006.
Okay.
You know, a couple of months ahead, maybe it was a little bit early, and in front of, you know, kind of in front of that situation where really you had the small cap implosion from the subprime crisis. Yet at the same time, it got you back into small caps this year using this simple formula. And small caps, believe it or not, it's counterintuitive. Most people aren't realizing it, but they are outperforming large caps this year.
Yeah, now that's going to get interesting because it seems that the large caps, I mean, even like Coca-Cola got smoked. My take on that is because finally the dollar is doing a counter-trend bounce. And, of course, the repatriation of money and how much they're making overseas, they're making a lot more overseas than they are just on the currency spread than they are selling Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, the name of the book is Follow the Fed to Investment Success. You can go right to Amazon to get it. It's the Effortless Strategy of Beating Wall Street. Now, I thought what was really cool in here, of course, we, you know, trade the market every day, but the fact of the matter is, folks, is that when you want to make money, it doesn't matter how you make it. And Douglas talks about in here is that this strategy, you can basically do a couple trades every couple years, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is
something. That's how real money's made, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
This is something, it's counterintuitive, but something with the least amount of effort generates the most amount of fun. And even if you are a trader, or you are a stock picker, your hunting is better if you're in the right area.
Yes.
If you're in the right types of stocks. Or as I like to say, to use a housing analogy,
okay.
When you go buy a house, you look at the neighborhood first. You're not about to.
Yeah.
You're not about to buy the best house in a depressed area. You're going to pick the neighborhood you want to live in. So you have to remember, just like we were saying before, it's not the stock, it's the stock type. Just like with a house, when you're buying a house, it's not the house, it's the neighborhood that you look for first.
No, that's so cool. Because we're all geniuses in a bull market, man. If you get in something that wants to go up, well, the bottom line is that then the markets are forgiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I didn't get a chance to look inside, but I got to page 135. When you look at, what, do you suggest index funds, ETFs? What do you suggest when folks are doing this?
You can use index funds, and we tend to recommend them.
Okay.
Because although we don't say that nobody can outperform index funds, we say unless you're sure that they're really adding you know, an advantage to it. You're better off sticking with something with low-cost fees. We like ETFs.
Yes.
But also the beauty of this is a lot of people invest really their money through 401k programs. And particularly then, these are the type of people who maybe have a job that they, you know, they have limitations as to how much they can trade. A lot of investment plans, you can't really adapt to your ETF. In other words, it's not on the menu.
Okay.
What they recommend. But you can always find some type of small or large cap fund
Nice. That's
on your menu there. So it's a perfect thing for, let's say, retirement and 401k plans. And as you say, it's one of those things that allows you to do very little work. It's for somebody who has a job, a family, an interest, in other words, a life that they want to work with. And as I say, if you are a more active investor, your odds of success increase by being in the right areas.
Yeah, no, listen, it's a great. You have great ideas in here. You really do. And I think one of the best ones is trade less and don't listen. He talks about in here, folks, that the news will drive you crazy. And that's a fact. There's no two ways about that. Up, down, and around. You know what's amazing when you think about it, Douglas? The S&P hasn't moved in 7 years. Eight years now, right?
Yeah, actually, to tell you the truth, if you went, kind of like around 2000 and you went into treasuries.
Yes.
You stuck there, you wouldn't be much worse off than you are today.
I know, it's amazing. Listen, folks, Douglas's website is channelcapitalresearch.com. That's channelcapitalresearch.com, one word. The name of the book is Follow the Fed to Investment Success, The Effortless Strategy for Beating Wall Street.
Tom, we also have actually a special website for the book called followthefedthebook.com. Again, that's followthefedthebook.com.
Okay, great. Well, listen, thanks for coming on. I wish you great success. I hope we get this up to the bestseller list for you. It has a lot of valuable information, and you did a great job, man.
Thank you very much, Tom. I enjoyed it as well.
Okay, have a great one. Have a safe one.
You too.
Thank you.